Tonight, Vanishing Point presents the third play in the four-part dramatic series by Rachel Wyatt. Escape Routes, Chronicles of the Ordinary, and the Not-So-Ordinary. Tonight's episode, Looking for a Quiet Place, starring Stephen Wimmett and Karen Woolridge.
Have you ever noticed how many of the people you see on the subway look like fugitives? What are they running away from? Where are they going? Why do they dread the journey? Take this one here. Let's call her Mary. 10 minutes ago, she was still in her office.
Mary, can you have that done by tonight?
What?
CPI are shouting for it. They've been after me all week.
What did you say?
Can you finish that tonight?
No, I can't. There's too much of it. I'll come in early Monday. I can't stay. I promised Nick I'd be home by 5. Home by 5? Well, I'll tell them Monday afternoon. They'll send somebody over to pick it up.
I don't suppose you can give me a ride, Laura?
Well, I'm not leaving for another hour or so.
Thanks anyway. Just the subway. All those people pushing and trying to get on the train at once.
You can wait for me.
I promise, Nick. See you.
Mary has a problem. Noise. She looks like your average young woman trying to get a seat on the subway. There she is. That's her over there, the one with the green scarf. She doesn't know that that colour doesn't suit her at all.
Excuse me. Could I sit here?
She hates the journey to and from the office. Look at her sitting there, not reading like the other passengers, but with her eyes shut tight. She's thinking about Nick. Now, Nick doesn't mind noise. He never has. His parents bought him a dirt bike when he was 12. He was a bright kid, and it was a reward for good grades. He rode the bike round and around the quiet streets, round and around and around. The neighbors appealed to his parents. They offered him bribes. They told the cops. But the cops were too busy with violent crimes and parking offenses to bother about one kid on a dirt bike. So finally, and that was when Nick understood how unpopular he was in his home area, they strung a rope across the road. Imagine, they could have killed the kid. People don't always think. The bike was a write-off. Nick was only scratched and mad. The miracle is that Mary, sitting there with her eyes closed and her hands over her ears, ever knows when it's her stop. It's instinct, you know, that leads her back to Nick. She's like a homing pigeon going back to the roost.
Hi. Nick?
Hey, you're late. And don't tell me the train got stuck in the tunnel again. You gave me that line last week. Been meeting Wayne again, haven't you?
Nick, I want to talk to you. If I'm going to keep on working, I've got to take the car. Nick, I can't take the subway anymore. I didn't get a seat till Christie. How pregnant do you have to be?
Did you say something?
Christ, turn that thing off! Can't you do something about the music?
I've got to see how the new glitch filter's working. I'll turn it down in a minute. You go sit outside. I'm making this for you. It's got yogurt in it, and wheat germ, and strawberries. Now then, taste that.
Mmm. Oh, it's lovely. Thanks, Nick. Oh, I was awful at the office today. There's more work than we can handle, and deadlines we can't really meet.
Well, you won't have to work there much longer, honey.
What do you mean? Have they given you a raise? Promoted you?
No, they fired me.
Did she hear him? Oh, no. She's too busy trying to figure out what he's really put in that drink.
Mm.
It's
strawberries, you said.
And wheat germ. And yogurt.
So, what are we celebrating?
Well, I want for us to have a healthy baby. Healthy mother, healthy child.
Your mother called me at the office today.
Yeah, what did she want?
Just to give us a crib and some blankets and a high chair and a christening gown. Do we have to have the baby christened?
Wait a minute. Hey, Joe, will you turn that thing off? You've got 24 hours a day to cut your grass, and you decide to do it. Well, I'm trying to tell my wife I lost my job today.
So maybe you'll have time to cut your lawn. It looks like a goddamn hayfield. And the weeds!
I'll cut it when I'm good and ready.
When Nick was 17, his parents gave him some money and he went right out and bought a Harley Davidson. He stopped going to school and set out to ride to Vancouver to see life and find himself. Listen to that engine. There's nothing like it, is there? Mary wrote to Nick every week, but never knew if he got the letters or not.
Dear Nick, the ring you gave me before you left. Dear Nick, my tennis game is improving a lot. Dear Nick, I miss you very much. Dear Nick, last week I went to the school dance with Janice and Al and Wayne.
After 2 years of adventure, lucky still to have the bike and the clothes he stood up in, he came roaring back across the country and went to work in a body shop and garage. He hadn't found himself, but he had learned a lot about engines, and he was just great at taking things to pieces. To protect his ears from the appalling sounds in the shop, Nick wore his Walkman all the time. And one day, a couple of years after he got back, sitting beside Mary in the park, both of them listening to Brass Knuckle, he lifted off her earphones tenderly and said, Will you marry me?
Yes.
So you said yes.
Yes, of course I said yes. Oh, who wouldn't have? He's tall and dark and has a big, friendly family who eat dinner together twice a month. It was like being welcomed by a pack of dogs. I mean, nice dogs, with soft paws and wet noses.
His parents were so pleased he was getting married that they gave him a room full of stereo equipment, including a synthesizer. And he spent the entire honeymoon composing wild music.
You lost your job? What happened?
It wasn't my fault. I couldn't hear the machine. We had the grinder on. And I was listening to that new guy on CFN, and this new Mercedes, it got kind of dented up a little.
What are you going to do?
Don't worry. I've got a line on something better, bigger, real money, my kind of job. You won't have to go to that office much longer.
Nick.
So, as you can see, she had this way of believing him. Now, her parents were not so thrilled about the wedding, and you can understand why. They did pay for the flowers and the champagne, but they didn't exactly join in the festivities. They were quiet, studious people who wanted their girl to go to university and spend lots of time in the library. But Mary was 19.
And at that point in my life, end of grade 12, I'd read all the books I wanted to read. He had this way of kissing me that drove me right out of my mind.
Oh, here's Mary going to work on the train again, you see? Every time the brakes squeal or the guard blows his whistle, she puts her fingers in her ears. People are really beginning to stare at her. And it's not just because of that crazy outfit she's wearing.
Are you all right? Mary? Laura, come over here! What's the matter? She fainted, I think. And no wonder. Must be 90 degrees in here.
Well, she's closed the windows again. Every time I turn my back, she closes the windows.
Mary, Mary!
Why are you standing around?
Joan, open the windows, please.
Why are you standing around?
Are you wearing earplugs again? Take them out!
What's wrong?
But Joan thought you'd fainted. You were lying back there.
I was just thinking.
Come and have coffee with me, Mary. We've got to talk. Did something happen over the weekend?
Nick lost his job, that's all.
Oh. Coffee?
Juice, please.
Well, he'll be all right. He'll get another job.
I keep trying to talk to him. He never hears me anymore.
You've got a very quiet voice, Mary. You've just got to make up your mind what you want to say.
I know what I want to say.
Then say it. And you listen. Find a quiet place. And then have your talk.
Is there a quiet place, Laura?
Now listen, Mary. You've got to get this in perspective. You're not the first woman who's had a baby. So you and Nick are having a few problems. It happens.
A few problems? He stopped working at the garage. He's jealous every time I'm half an hour late.
He's suffering the first pangs of fatherhood. Now listen. You take him out to a nice restaurant. Candles, wine, steak.
Well, if I thought that would work.
It works, believe me. Now, let's get on with the CPI material. They want it yesterday. Mary, you are coming back to work after the baby, aren't you? After your leave? You've got your career to think of. You've done so well the last 5 years. You can't just let
it go. I can't go on working here. I need to be able to think.
Rock-a-bye, baby, on the treetop.
Did you call me? Do you want to talk to me?
Rock-a-bye, baby, on the treetop.
Are you wearing those goddamn earplugs again? Well, take them out. You can't do that. What do you do after the baby's born? You won't be able to hear him cry.
Don't worry about that.
Come on, come in the other room and we'll talk. We'll talk. What's wrong? What's bothering you?
The music.
Oh, but it's better, isn't it? The guy in the store told me to get a new Tantalum cap and I did.
And I'm worried about what you're doing, Nick. You go out late. You're home during the day. You come back in the middle of the night.
Yeah, but the other guy at the store said I should stay with the polystyrene. Listen to what happens when I can't get out.
There she is, going on about noise again. Now, it's pretty hard for Nick to understand her because he's always lived with sound. When he was 15, for instance, he didn't have many friends, just two or three, but his little group lived in a continuum of noise. In the summer, they hung his loudspeakers out of the bedroom window, and the neighbor who tried to shoot the speakers was charged with malicious damage and intent to wound. And who could blame him, really? Mary, on the other hand, had lived in a very quiet home. She mistook all that noise for real life and true passion. Nobody had ever raised a voice in her house. And so now she reveled in shouting at the top of her lungs.
Oh, my God.
Nick, you're terrific. Nick, I love you. Nick! We can talk here, Nick. This is a nice place.
I'm going to get the baby a crash helmet.
He won't, or she won't, be able to ride a bike for a year or two, Nick.
Shrimp cocktail for you, sir.
Thanks.
Salad, madam?
There's so much I want to talk to you about, Nick.
We used to do our talking at bedtime, but now when I come in, you're fast asleep.
You come in so late, Nick. You never used to go out in the evenings. We went to bed at the same time. Where do you go?
I'll tell you when I'm ready. Did you bring me here just to...
He wanted to get me trapped in this corner. Can you trust me, Mary? I'll be able to tell you next week. I'm doing it for you and for the baby.
It's all right. Why can't you tell me?
Well, and while we're asking questions, a guy I know knows Wayne. Said he'd seen the two of you together.
I told you about that, Nick. I met him on the street. Of course we talked. We were at school together for 10 years.
Yes, we stayed at school, so we're smart.
We came here to talk, Nick, not to rake up the past.
You started it. With your crazy questions, why can't you believe me? Trust me. Wait and see.
I don't ask crazy questions.
You ask. Every day you ask crazy questions.
Is everything all right here? Enjoying your dinner?
No. You stay here, Mary. Finish the wine.
Well, I'm not drinking wine.
Well, finish your meal. I've got to meet somebody. I'll be back later.
Nick? Nick? We ordered steaks, Nick.
They got married and lived in a tiny apartment until the super asked them to move. Other tenants had complained about the music and the way they shouted when they made love. You see, Nick being her only lover so far, Mary had no idea that you could make love quietly and whisper the words. And so his parents offered to help them out and put a down payment on a house in a quiet suburban street, way beyond Nick and Mary's means. A mistake. Nick saw Mary as a princess and wanted her to have everything his sisters had. It was simply a matter of pride with him. And of course he got into debt. But she was happy. Her parents could see she was happy and came to visit every 2 weeks. They brought little gifts for the house and made a real effort to like Nick. Now, one day, after 4 years of living in the house, Mary realized that she and Nick never really talked to one another. They listened to music together, ate meals together, used the Cuisinart and the dishwasher and the coffee grinder together, but...
Nick, listen, I'm worried. I want us to talk to each other. Nick, come and talk to me.
Honey, don't worry. I'm here. Come on. Lie down. Here, beside me. There.
He reassured you, didn't he? And look what happened. You got pregnant.
I get this feeling, Doctor.
Hmm?
That I want to go away to a desert island.
Hmm.
There's so much noise everywhere. The baby won't be able to hear me sing.
When I bought this office 30 years ago, I thought I'd never get used to that. But you can get used to anything in time. Just a minute. I'll close the window.
I don't like going downtown anymore.
Mm.
The subway trains are driving me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And the traffic on the streets. Mm. And all those people yelling at each other.
Mm-hmm. Pregnancy can affect a woman in a variety of ways, Mary. Some women just want to eat all the time. Others sleep all the time. Some collect buttons. You want to be quiet.
My baby won't be able to hear me sing. Nick? Nick! He didn't hear me. Nobody is listening to me. Nick, you're wearing your headphones. What are you hearing? Nick?
Oh, Mary! Oh, isn't it great sound? I got that capacitor soldered in.
Yeah, Nick, it's great.
Just a second, I'll take them off. Okay, what did the doctor say? You were gone a long time.
Nothing, just nothing.
You were gone forever. Did you have to wait?
It's his clinic on Tuesdays. Of course I had to wait.
Always the same.
It's all right, Mary. You don't have to go into detail.
Nick, I went to the doctor's. I waited.
And then you stopped off for a drink with Wayne.
No!
All right. I've said I'm sorry, Mary. I can't help getting jealous. I mean, look at you. You do look about 16, you know.
All right. It's okay. But, Nick, do we have to go to your parents' place? I'd rather stay home.
Oh, we always go on Victoria Day. They'll be hurt if you aren't there.
They pat my belly and make me feel like a prize cow.
We always have a good time. I'll drop you off and say hi to the folks.
Where are you going?
Well, I have to pick up some stuff for a friend. I'll be back later. Laura will be there. You won't be on your own.
Oh, they're better than ever this year. I can't stand it. Why doesn't Nick come back? Look at that. Oh, it's beautiful. It sounds like World War III.
Mary began to realize that on most days, she never heard a human voice used at a normal speaking level at all. She heard a whole lot of noises she didn't want to hear. She heard music and machines. And she heard voices trying to reach her through all those other sounds. She didn't understand that it was life. As I said before, where there's life, there's noise. She started seriously to look for a quiet place and took a cab one morning out to the Leslie Street Spit and called home to tell Nick to meet her there.
Mary? What is this, Mary? Why aren't you at the office?
It's quieter here, isn't it?
I could do without those damn seagulls. If you'd wanted a trip to the lake, you should have said.
Going to your family's cottage for a quiet weekend is about as close to bedlam as you can get.
Okay, okay. So why here?
I'm getting worried about the baby, Nick. All this noise everywhere. I can't hear his heartbeat. And there's so much other sound.
Babe, listen to me. You're getting unreasonable. I thought pregnant women only wanted weird things to eat like pickles and chocolate sauce, but you want a quiet, peaceful place. I mean, come on, Mary. How will our kid ever learn to live in the real world if all he ever hears is peace and quiet?
Maybe he'll be sensitive. Maybe he'll like reading. Maybe he'll listen to other people.
You're making him sound like a sissy.
And a man came to the office today asking questions about you? Nick, where were you last Monday?
You know where I was last Monday. Next year, we'll get a boat. We'll keep it at my folks' place till we get a cottage of our own. The kid'll like that. Come on, Mary. Look, what did you want to tell me, eh?
Let's go home.
Sure. We'll stop on the way for a pizza. Okay?
Then she found an even quieter place right there in the house. Under her nose, so to speak. The crawl space.
Quiet here, isn't it, Nick?
It's filthy.
I could clean it out. I could bring a mattress down here, and food, and wine. We could lie here sometimes and have a drink and talk.
We've got a whole nice house, Mary. I do not want to live in the crawl space.
The baby likes it here. We come here often, he and I.
Stop it, Mary. He's not born yet. We can't know what he likes.
He likes it here.
Come on, Mary. Now, you got me down here for a reason. Tell me what it is, and then I'll go up and make us some coffee.
To get here, I had to climb over all those boxes.
They weren't here last week. It's like an obstacle course. A woman in my condition shouldn't have to climb over boxes, Nick.
By the weekend, they'll be gone. And you don't have to come down here, Mary. I'm going back upstairs.
Come back. There's all kinds of things I have to tell you.
What? What do you want to say, Mary?
I can't remember.
Oh, come on, honey. Come back upstairs with me.
The baby likes it here.
All of us need quiet some of the time. Mary just needed more of it than other people. And she found it in the end. She found what she was looking for. The only truly quiet place in the whole city. The hospital. The signs outside read, "Quiet, Hospital." Notices in the corridors request people to walk softly. So Mary lay back in the bed in her little room and waited for the quiet to begin.
Nick!
I gotta hide.
You can't come in here!
Police!
Nurse! I'll be there in a minute, Mary. You can't come in here. This is a quiet place. I can't have my patients disturbed. Get out of that closet, you!
Shut up!
Nick, you can't stay in there.
Be quiet, Mary.
Police!
You can't disturb my patient like this.
Stop.
It's all right, Mary. You don't have to talk to him.
We saw him come in here. We've been following him.
He's in the closet.
Leave me alone. You got no evidence.
A warrant.
Get out of here.
They promised me there would be quiet here.
All right, we'll just come back and ask her some questions later.
The stolen things are in the basement. In big boxes. About 10 of them.
Mary!
Goodbye, Nick.
You're under arrest. Anything you say will be held against you in a court of law. You have the right to counsel. If you can't afford one, one will be furnished you by the court.
Mary thought her problem was noise. In fact, it was Nick. And once he was gone, her life became calm, ordinary. She got used to the sounds around her. And now she rides the subway like everybody else. Quiet, still, and rather sad.
Looking for a Quiet Place was written and narrated by Rachel Wyatt. The play starred Stephen Wimmett as Nick and Karen Woolridge as Mary. Also featured in the cast were Stephen Bush as the Doctor, Barbara Kyle as Laura, and George Buza and Francine Volker in a variety of roles. Technical operations were by Brian Pate, and sound effects were provided by Matt Wilcott. Production assistant was Peggy Esty, and Sandra Rabinovich is our story editor. Original music for tonight's show was composed by Roberta Ochopinti. Series theme for Escape Routes is by Wayne Kelso. Looking for a Quiet Place was produced and directed by William Lane in Studio G in Toronto. Next week, tune in for the fourth and final part of Escape Routes, Ultimate Destination, starring Cordelia Strube.